trying to have it both ways.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Two senators on the Finance Committee think they see a tax door that needs to be shut. Here's an example. Blackstone is a private equity group that pays about 15% in taxes. That's much lower than the 35% tax rate for corporations. But Blackstone is planning to go public. So these senators think if you're going to act like a corporation, make business like a corporation, you should pay taxes like a corporation. Yesterday, they called for legislation to do that. However, even if the measure is passed, Blackstone would avoid the new rules for 5 years because it already had filed its IPO. Asian markets closed higher today. In Tokyo, the Nikkei gained 129 points. In Europe, shares are climbing. On Wall Street yesterday, investors were upbeat despite some disappointing earnings. The Dow added 71 points to 13,553. The Nasdaq moved ahead 17 points. It opens today at 2599. And the S&P rose 7 points to 1522. Switzerland has raised its interest rates by a quarter of 1%. On the face of it, not an earth-shattering event. But as Stephen Beard reports from London, this could spark dramatic moves in the currency markets.
The Swiss central bank says it's putting up interest rates to curb foreign speculators. They've been borrowing billions of Swiss francs at a relatively low interest rate and then converting them into a currency with a higher rate. The effect of all this money flooding out of Switzerland has not been good for the Swiss economy. It's depressed the franc, and that's raising inflationary pressures, hence the action by the central bank. Several trillion dollars worth of hot money are tied up in this speculative activity. If it takes fright, says analyst Neil McKinnon, there'll be market mayhem.
It will end quite badly, I'm sure. It will end in tears. History tells us that when the bubble pops, it pops with a mighty bang and reverberates globally across all financial markets.
He says the currency markets largely ignored the Swiss rate rise. That makes it likely there'll be a much bigger increase and even more disruption in the months ahead. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Americans are definitely not of one mind when it comes to the issue of immigration. Now two nonpartisan think tanks in Mexico ask citizens on the other side of the border what they think about this issue. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has that story.
The poll asked 1,500 Mexicans, if you could, would you move north of the border? 35% said yes. Professor Susan Mnuchin's with the Center for Economic Investigation and Teaching in Mexico. She directed the joint survey.
When you're asking a population that earns, on average, one-tenth of what the average American earns, if you could, would you go live in the United States? It's not surprising that a lot of people would say yes. But that doesn't mean that if immigration was completely opened without visas, that 30% of Mexico would move into the United States.
She says there are many reasons restless Mexicans stay in Mexico, including family obligations, current jobs, and a shortage of cash. The survey also found that over half of all Mexicans have relatives living in a foreign country, most of those in the U.S. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Forbes magazine is out with its list of the 100 most powerful celebrities based on the size of their bank account. You probably guessed this. Oprah is number one. Captain Jack Sparrow, a.k.a. Johnny Depp, vaulted to number six. Thanks to his new Pirates film, he's hauled in $92 million so far. One surprise, though, apparently overexposure isn't healthy for your bank account because Paris Hilton has fallen from the list. Aww.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. The Marketplace Health Desk is supported by the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation working toward a high-performance health system. On the web at commonwealthfund.org.
The blank screen that so upset everyone at the end of The Sopranos could be an interesting metaphor for HBO. Remember the slogan, "It's not TV, it's HBO"? Well, that lofty attitude was based on enormously popular series like The Sopranos and Sex and the City. Now that those shows are gone, does the cable network have anything on the bench that can keep profits high and viewers happy? Mike Spire is the executive editor for Daily Variety. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Well, Tony Soprano survived, but I guess the question is, will HBO take a hit now that he's gone?
Sure they will. I mean, Sopranos specifically, the ratings for the last episode were humongous. And right away, that's a show that's going away. So here's a Sopranos was such a cultural movement. It wasn't just a show. And while the ratings ebbed and flowed and the last season was strong, but not as strong as before, the point is people gathered around the television for The Sopranos. And that made HBO into more than just a cable network.
Sort of the ultimate appointment viewing.
Correct. So now they don't have it and they don't have anything close to it.
Well, HBO premiered John from Cincinnati right after that final episode. Should we read that as a network's next big new thing? And how have viewers responded to that premiere show?
I hope HBO doesn't think everyone looks at it as the next big thing, because the ratings for John from Cincinnati were not good. And the critics have not been kind to it. It's been more mixed reviews than anything else. But again, it's certainly no comparison to the shows they had before, which Sex and the City, Sopranos, and even to some extent, 6 Feet Under. They just hit their wave and hit a movement where they had three huge shows that humongous amounts of people like. Now they have very niche shows like Entourage or Big Love that are popular within their circles, but nothing compares to what they had. And they have to worry about that.
A lot of other networks have come up with successful series on their own, perhaps taking a page out of HBO's playbook. Plus, with movie downloads so much easier, it's kind of a whole new world for HBO, isn't it?
Yeah, HBO's never had to face any of this. They haven't had to face critical barbs. They haven't had to face nothing in the pipeline that matches what they've had.
And an executive who
was arrested, who was supposed to be the leader for the longest time. He was known. Chris Albrecht was known as the man who brought HBO into prominence. And now he, surprisingly, of course, because of an arrest last month, has been let go, and they've hired someone new. And so they're going through a huge transition now, and they have to compete, of course, with other cable shows that are doing very well. I mean, they're still the big man on the block. They're just not the only man on the block.
Mike Spire is the executive editor for Daily Variety. Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.